Just heard Deacon Paul read, there's a change that takes place that we probably didn't even perceive, and that is that Jesus is now preaching outside. He always preached in the synagogue until then, but what has happened is, as he would go into a synagogue, there wasn't already a group of eager people there. They weren't the only ones, but there were also scribes and Pharisees and elders who were weighing and sifting every word that Jesus spoke so that they would have something to charge him with. And they were looking for any action that he would do that they could turn into an accusation. But that wouldn't stop Jesus from preaching the word, even though he was sort of no longer welcome in synagogues because of the officials there who were waiting to trap him all the time. He went outside. He's preaching today in a boat, from a boat. He would preach in village streets. He would preach on roads from then on, even in people's homes. He would spread the word. And so we have this parable from Jesus, who's in a boat giving this parable, and he says that there is a sower, but he's saying, look at the sower, that his people would have the image of a sower already in their minds by seeing somebody in a hillside behind where they're standing on the shore, and they could relate to this parable in a deeper way. And so what does Jesus do? Well, basically, he describes various types of grounds that the seed falls upon. And Jesus is the sower in the parable. And so you have stony ground. And that didn't mean it was a bunch of rocks on top of the earth like we might find here where we live. But at that time in Palestine, what that meant was there was a thin layer of dirt on an underlying shelf of limestone rock. And so the earth could only be a few inches deep before the rock was reached. And on such ground, the seed would germinate very quickly, but there was no depth to the earth, and when it sent down roots for nourishment, they just withered and died. Then there was a thorny ground, and that was a little bit more deceptive, because when the sower was sowing, the ground would look clean. You know, if you plant plants in your own garden, it looks like clean ground, doesn't it? But as every gardener knows, the weeds grow rather quickly. They grow before the plant does. And so the result was that you had good seed with the dormant weeds together, but the weeds were so strong that they throttled the life out of the seed, and the seed didn't take shape, and that died. And then you have good ground that was deep and clean and soft, and the seed could find nourishment, and it could grow unchecked. And in the good ground, it brought forth an abundant harvest. Now, to whom does Jesus address this parable? Because if we don't know who he's addressing, we won't know what it all means. Well, he's aiming it at you and me. As he's giving the parable, obviously, the hearers who are there listening to him preach. And if we take the parable as a warning to those who are hearing it, it means that there are different ways of accepting the word of God. And the fruit which it produces depends on the heart of the person who's listening. You know, a priest or a deacon could stand here in the pulpit and give a fantastic homily, but if nobody's listening, if you're thinking about what you're going to sign up for Oktoberfest, or where are we going to go have breakfast after Mass, even, never mind. what I'm saying is preaching is always a two-way street. Yes, you have the preacher, but you also have to have an active listener who's following every word, just as it is here. And so there are different kinds of listeners, different kinds of people. There's the hearer with a shut mind, a closed mind. And these are people in whose minds the word doesn't have any chance of gaining entry, because there are many things that can shut a man's mind. Prejudice can make him blind to everything that he doesn't want to see. A stubborn, unteachable spirit can erect a barrier which can't easily be broken down, and that barrier is the result of pride or fear or sometimes an immoral character, an immoral way of living. And a person's way of life then can shut his mind to hearing anything of God's word. And then there's the hearer with a mind like the shallow ground. And that's is the person who fails to think things out and think things through. Now, we probably all know people like this. Perhaps we're people like that ourselves. Some people are at the mercy of every new craze. You can usually tell by how many deliveries from Amazon they get each week if they fall into that category. They take up a thing quickly and just as quickly drop it. They begin some new hobby with enthusiasm, but the thing becomes difficult and they abandon it. And some people's lives are littered with the things that they began and never finished. A person can be like that with the Word of God. When they hear it, they may be swept off their feet with an emotional reaction and are eager, but no one can live on emotion alone, and emotion doesn't last all that long. A sudden enthusiasm quickly becomes a dying fire. And then there's the hearer, this is a little more complicated, who has so many interests in life that often the most important things get crowded out. I remember watching on television, there was an interview with Bill Gates, and the interviewer asked him if he goes to church. It's a fair question. He thought about an answer, Bill Gates did, and his answer was, "No, I don't think that would be a good use of my time." And it's characteristic of modern life that it's increasingly crowded with more things. Technology is supposed to help us have an easier time, but it seems to just frustrate us all the more. Participation in sports or other activity takes priority over going to church in the morning. A person becomes too busy to pray, so they think. Their job can take such a grip on them that they're too tired to think of anything else but their job. You know, these aren't bad things that I'm talking about, but they're not obviously dangerous to us. Those are good activities, you know, sports and leisure and things like that. But people intend to make time for spiritual things, but somehow in a crowded life, they never get around to it. But then there's the man who is like the good ground. And like the good ground, his mind is open to hearing the word of God. And he's willing to listen and to learn and to study even. He's prepared to hear. He's never too proud or too busy to listen. He wants to listen to the voice of God and follow it. He understands. He has thought out that being a disciple involves planning things in my life and giving up some things for other things. To follow Jesus as his disciple. And he knows what it means for him and is prepared to accept it. And he translates his hearing into action. And he produces the good fruit of the good seed. So what kind of hearer are you? The real hearer of the word is the one who listens, who understands, and who obeys.